This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Boston's public schools have made improvements in recent decades, but there's still a substantial achievement gap that separates white students from their Black and Latino peers. And that gap has become a defining issue in the race for mayor between City Councilor John Conley and State Representative Marty Walsh. With the election just hours away, WBUR's David Scharfenberg looks at the debate over education reform.
It's a Tuesday morning at Up Academy Boston, a charter school serving mostly low-income, mostly Black and Latino kids. UP stands for Unlocking Potential, and the school seems to be doing just that. This old brick fortress in South Boston was once home to the Gavin Middle School, where test scores were low and behavior problems rampant. Laureen Wright says her daughter Jada Casamajor was lost there.
Well, I could recall a time at the Gavin that Jada climbed out of a window. I was wondering, well, where was the teachers? And this was like during a very snowy day.
Jada says expectations were low at the Gavin. Fitting in meant failing. But when UP took over 2 years ago, things changed.
At my first quarter report card at UP Academy, I received straight A's. And so when I showed them to my mom, like, she cried. It just showed her that I actually have the potential to become somebody.
Principal Jamie Morrison says a culture shift has been critical to the school's success. Walk into an UP classroom and you'll find order and engagement. Students are dressed in khakis and black collared shirts. They offer quiet snaps when a classmate gives the right answer. Morrison also points to the charter school's freedom to pick and choose staff, set curriculum, and extend the school day by 2 hours. Autonomy's not available in traditional public schools.
I think they're the most important thing, to allow the people in the school who know the students to make decisions.
Whatever is behind the success, it's real. In the Gavin Middle School's final year, 23% of 8th graders tested proficient in math. 2 years later, just this past spring, the figure had more than tripled to 76%. That kind of dramatic improvement for low-income kids is something like the holy grail of urban education. But the work of UP Academy and similar schools is politically fraught, here in Boston and across the country. UP is on the front lines of a national education reform movement that favors a market-based approach, charter schools, teacher accountability, and a devolution of authority from school superintendents to individual principals. The idea is that education is too much about an outdated command-and-control bureaucracy. Not enough about a flexible, entrepreneurial approach to what each school needs. The movement has powerful patrons, from President Obama to Microsoft billionaire Bill Gates, who is funding reform efforts in Boston and all over the country.
I believe the conditions are ripe for dramatic improvements in our schools.
But Gates and other reformers have their critics. Chief among them, New York University professor Diane Ravitch, who served in the administration of the first President Bush and initially embraced standards-based reform. She says figures like Gates are corporatizing education, introducing competition to a sphere where it is wholly inappropriate. Their charter schools, she says, are not serving the same proportion of English language learners or disabled students as traditional public schools. And bottom line, Ravitch says, the reformers are simply not succeeding.
The track record is that everything they advocate has failed. The track record is they're losers.
Harsh words. But the reform movement has struggled to scale up the successes of individual schools like UP Academy. Sharp-elbowed reformers like New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg and Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel have not substantially narrowed the achievement gap separating better-off white students from poorer Blacks and Latinos. But that hasn't dimmed the enthusiasm of local education reformers, like City Councilor John Connolly, one of two finalists in the Boston mayoral race. He says the city can succeed where others have failed.
Boston can become the preeminent city in the United States when it comes to efforts to close the achievement gap.
Connolly says Boston has a lot going for it. It's much smaller, much more manageable than New York or Chicago. It's got a bevy of nonprofit and university partners. And while charter schools nationwide have a mixed record, they've shown promising results here. At the heart of Connolly's plan, a major restructuring of the school district that would slash the central office and push power and resources down to the school level. The idea is to give every principal at every kind of school the authority enjoyed by the principal at Up Academy.
I want to see a thin bureaucracy up top, because if we're going to build schools that are flexible and have a lot of freedom, it needs to be grassroots-built schools, schools that work from the bottom up, not from a top-heavy bureaucracy that tries to have a cookie-cutter school system.
That sort of change isn't easy to push through. And if Connolly does pull off a dramatic decentralization, it could fail if school principals don't make effective use of their new power. But Connolly says he'll put a heavy emphasis on principal development. And education reform leaders like Paul Grogan, president of the Boston Foundation, say something bold is required after the incrementalism of the Menino years.
I think it's high risk. On the other hand, we can't stay where we are, either in Boston or in urban America generally. We have what still qualifies as an epic disaster on our hands, whole generations of mostly black and brown young people really being, you know, headed for a marginal adult existence.
Grogan's Boston Foundation does not endorse political candidates, but other school reform groups have flocked to Connolly. The Massachusetts chapter of national outfit Democrats for Education Reform had spent $1 million at last count on canvassing and television ads. State Representative Marty Walsh, the other mayoral candidate, has criticized the hedge fund money behind that group. And he suggests Connolly's approach and that of his allies is reckless.
The corporate reform, I mean, it seems like they're coming in and want to bulldoze and throw the system out. You know, kids can't afford to throw the system out because it's going to take years to rebuild the system.
Here, Walsh underscores a broader stylistic difference between the two candidates. Connolly says urban politics, and school politics in particular, are sclerotic. They hew to the status quo, he says, and allow the achievement gap to fester. Walsh, a longtime labor leader, says Connolly is too confrontational, too willing to draw a line in the sand when it is cooperative work within the system that yields the best results. His signature education proposal, universal preschool, relies on a more traditional call for greater resources.
My plan is within 4 years to have every child, four-year-old in the city of Boston, in a classroom.
Still, there is real overlap between these candidates. Walsh serves on the board of a charter school. He's talked of pushing some power down to school principals and teachers. And Paul Revel, a professor at Harvard's Graduate School of Education, who recently served as Governor Patrick's Secretary of Education, suggests that some structural change is inevitable. State law already gives traditional public schools so-called turnaround powers when they fail, powers that look a lot like those of charter schools. And the blend of schools is changing by the year. There are more charters now, more hybrids.
The idea that we evolve away from a one-size-fits-all model to a model that includes a number of different providers and a number of different kinds of services seems to me to be a natural evolution.
Connolly and Walsh differ in important ways on education, but it seems reform of some kind is on the way. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm David Scharfenberg.